The name of the sermon today is Cargo. Cargo, part two. Back in February of 2012, I gave a sermon, Cargo, which concerned ourselves with handling of burdens. Let us have a 5-minute review of that sermon, because it was some time ago that we had that sermon. Some of you may have had time to go over that sermon before we gathered together today. I asked the question, what are burdens? How do we deal with them? What are the sources of burdens in the Bible? Are there different kinds of burdens? What are we supposed to do with these burdens? Are there different procedures for different kinds of burdens? And then I give a definition of burdens, something that is emotionally difficult to bear. So a lot of the burdens that we carry are things that are emotionally difficult to bear. A source of great worry or stress as a weight on you. And if you remember from our sermon on worry, worry is defined as a great weight. So you're carrying around a great weight when you're caught up in worry. And of course, God doesn't want you to worry, doesn't want you to be under stress. Sin or iniquity can be a definition of a burden. So if you're working through a sin, that's a burden while you're working through it. Clearly, the ramifications of the sin that you're carrying out can be a burden. Trouble, any kind of trouble that you're in is a burden. Impediment or encumbrance, anything in your life that is causing an impediment or an encumbrance, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, can be a burden. Afflictions and sufferings, we all go through trials and tribulations. Afflictions and sufferings, these are all things that we are carrying as burdens. A severe task or difficult duty requiring effort. So there's certain things we have to do in this life we don't really want to do. And so that can be a severe task, and that can be something that weighs heavily on you. I remember one time when I was between jobs, and I was offered a temporary job, but it was something I didn't want to do. And it brought great stress upon me because I really didn't want to do that job. I remember crying the night before I had to go to that job. That as a blessing as it might be to have that temporary job at that moment in time, it didn't take away from the fact that it was a severe task. It was a weight upon my shoulders to have to do that work. It was very hard work that was before me. And anything under the heading of worries or sorrows can be a burden. Some key verses I gave, and I gave quite a few verses, and actually, as it turned out, that particular sermon was a scripture reading. We went through a lot of scriptures that dealt with burdens. I'm going to give you just a few of the verses, just so we have a flavor going into what I want to talk about today. Psalm 38 and verse 4. Psalm 38 and verse 4. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. So I get emails and phone calls from people that are going through severe trials, and this is the kind of thing that they're saying, that I'm in such sorrow, I'm in such weight here, the burden upon me is more, it's too heavy for me, it's hard to do. Psalm 25 in verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distress. So it's interesting that God would put these kind of verses in the Bible, because they are things that we've said, things that we have felt in our situation in going through the salvation process. So these things are not new to us, are they? Psalm 38 and verse 17. I've gotten these kind of emails before. Psalm 38, verse 17. For I am ready to halt. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I cannot do this anymore. I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. Why do I have to go through all of these things? Under the heading of burdens are appointed to us. And this is going to be very important to understand, that nothing happens in a vacuum. Nothing happens with God not knowing. So it doesn't matter what sorrow, what trial, what tribulation, what burden you are under, these burdens are appointed to us for reasons. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4. So 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So the burden has been appointed to you and to me. And so we have to find out what we're supposed to do with this burden. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So he's saying, you know what I'm talking about. These are the burdens that we have to live with. Under the heading of, does God help us with our burdens? Psalm 55. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer thy righteous to be moved. So it's not going to be too big. He's going to help you deal with it. You have to understand how he's going to have you deal with it. Now, burdens could come from many different places, and we'll talk about that, what these burdens are and where they come from. But they can happen for all kinds of reasons. They can happen because we're not doing something right. We're using a wrong physical, mental procedure. It can be results of sin. It can be result of any trial or tribulation, any sorrow in your family, anything that's going on in your life, your job, your health. A lot of burdens come from health. We got a lot of people going through those kinds of burdens right now, don't we? Going through various health burdens. So it says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Take a look at Psalm 27 and verse 14. This is casting our burdens upon the Lord. So whatever your burden is, I want you to mentally and emotionally and spiritually cast it upon the Lord here. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Now, he's saying that twice. Why is he saying that? Very important that we have to wait upon the Lord and be of good courage. This is going to work out. You realize, in one way of looking at it, this whole life, this whole physical life is a trial, is a burden. I can hardly wait till we get out of this particular burden. But clearly, we're speaking to individual burdens that you have along the way. And some of you are working with more than one burden at a time. You could have a health burden as well as a sorrowful burden that you're working with. Under the heading of God will not allow us to be moved, Psalm 16. Psalm 16 in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So again, perspective. We have to have a kingdom perspective. We have to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. One of those things that will be added to you is the taking away of the burden. So you have to set the Lord always before you. I don't care how bad the burden is, and some of them are pretty severe. But if you keep God's in front of you, and so keep God in front of you and keep the kingdom in your eyesight, you'll get through this. Under the heading of overcoming tribulation and trials, we have Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So you have God's Holy Spirit. You will make your way through this tribulation, through this a burden that you have. 2 Corinthians 4:17, also under the heading of overcoming tribulations and trials. For our light affliction, this is perspective again. You got to look at the kingdom. If you're looking at the kingdom, if you're looking at God to handle the burden, then you will say to yourself, for our light affliction. No matter how severe it is, and ultimately it will be a light affliction, which is but for a moment, both in the here and the now, meaning in that particular affliction, that particular burden, it's just for a moment. Or if you want to look at all of life, this whole life is nothing but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So you're going to have a greater weight coming your way called glory. That's a wonderful burden to have, a wonderful weight to have. Under the head of action steps to deal with burdens, I'm giving you this all as introduction before we get into something very specific about burdens. So under the heading of action steps to deal with burdens, many items could be on this list, including and in combination. So some of these things can be done in combination, okay? And I'm thinking of one now that is being dealt with. Praying all that you are able. So these are things you do to deal with burdens. Pray all that you are able. Giving time to meditation. Meditation is linked very closely with prayer. Immersing yourselves into the Word of God. Occasionally fasting. Having a 10,000 year perspective, view things from the kingdom perspective looking back. And bringing all things to the Christ level. This is another aspect of having Christ in your viewpoint as you go through these things. Now, imagine, and this has been done, but imagine entering into a fast in which during this fast, all you do, if you read the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong, you'll see this done. But you want to talk about burdens. He was under multiple burdens at one time. His wife was sick. There was no money in the house. It was winter. There was no wood to stoke the stoves. All these terrible things were up on him. He had nowhere to turn, so he went to God fasting, and then he entered into a situation in which he prayed, then meditated, and then studied, or you can take that in almost any way you want. Study, meditate on what you studied about in preparation for the prayer, and he was rotating that every hour. So you can do any one of these. You can do these in combination. You can do what Herbert W. Armstrong did. There's all kinds of things that you can do as action steps to deal with burden. And a big part of this is understanding the burden, understanding why you have this burden and what we're supposed to do before God with the burden. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. So there's a pathway through the handling of this burden and you have to find it. And God is going to show you that way. So if you acknowledge him, it says, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, and so you go back to those action steps. And if you're doing those action steps, you're putting all of that into God's hands and you're acknowledging him by doing that. I'm bringing this burden before you. That's an acknowledgement. You are talking to God. You're meditating about the burden and how to best go through it. A lot of the clarity on the burden will come in the meditation step. So if you work these things in combination. So it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. This is 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Again, no burden is going to come your way, but what he is understanding of it. And he may be allowing these. He may be allowing these because of something we've done wrong. He may be opening our minds to what we're going to be talking about today. The fact that you created a burden, maybe not for yourself, but maybe for somebody else. When you go into your prayer closets with your burdens, take all the steps necessary to ensure you are not still carrying them when you come out of the prayer closet. Remember the words of the Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew 11, and here's what he says in Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is bringing everything up to the Christ level. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest upon your souls. For my soul is easy and my burden is light. So we need to take these to God. That is the end of the excerpts from Cargo part one. Today we're going to take this idea of burdens a step further to show how we can deal with the burden of our brothers and sisters in the faith, and ultimately all of our loved ones. This concept can be compounded when we are the cause of the burden. So the purpose of my sermon today is to encourage all of us to bear the burdens of our brother. First, I want to discuss how we put burdens on our brothers. It can happen so many different ways. It can happen because we are ignorant. We don't know that we're putting a burden on our brothers. It can happen in husband-wife relationships, parent-child. It can happen with best friends. It can happen with casual friends. It can happen with your relationships with people in the church. And there's so many different ways that this can happen. You can say something, you can do something, you can assume something in error, and that puts a burden on your brother. I've seen cases where one person loves the other person, and then the other person doesn't even see that or dismisses it somehow. And I'm talking about interpersonal relationships, like between a man and a woman. So I've seen relationships like that that bore a great potential, great promise, break down because of a miscommunication, a misunderstanding. So any miscommunication, misunderstanding, having one of the partners having an assumption that isn't true, and then has all of his actions and thoughts and words revolve around the faulty assumption. Herbert W. Armstrong says, everybody gets into trouble when the initial premise, the initial assumption is wrong. And that, so when you originate, instigate, manifest a wrong assumption, that can cause burdens for other people. I have examples of burdens here. Sin, guilt, health problems, financial woes, family disputes and problems. And see, if you're in the middle of a family dispute and problem, you got to be careful what you do. You could put a weight, an undue weight on somebody else. Failure. Failure is a burden. Lost loves. Lost loves. In other words, you entered into a situation that could have been the greatest love story ever told. But it ends up being a mess because of something one or both do wrong. Divorce. Clearly, if you're in the middle of a divorce, you're putting a burden on yourself and a burden on the other person. It doesn't matter how bad that marriage might have been. A divorce hurts both parties because it's a facing a failure, no matter how justified one partner might be over the other. Career or job situations. Negative feelings pointed at you, so you're under verbal or some sort of an attack by your brother, that puts a burden on you. And speaking to the person that's doing that, we have to be careful in our relationships one with another. What we don't fully understand all the time is the feelings, the heart, the mind, the point of view of the other person, and something that may be of little consequence to us can be a burden to them. Just being an unthinking person can result in a burden on the other. Possessions or loss of possessions. It's interesting, a possession that you have can be a burden, like the guy who goes and buys a brand new car and then he's all worried, he's overly worried. One thing about being stewardship of this, but it's another thing to be overly worried that the car will get its first scratch or its first dent. And he spends copious amounts of time to make sure that his car doesn't get hurt. And he worries a lot. The worrying of the new car. One guy said, here, let me end that for you. And he went out with a can opener and scratched the guy's car. He said, now you can rest. And sometimes it's kind of interesting how that works. He was so worried that he was going to get his first scratch, a guy helped him out. He gave him a scratch on his car so he wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. And I heard one guy says, you can get over that worry by going out yourself and scratching it. And any kind of worry or fear is a burden. But there are these burdens that you can put on other people. I would guess, in my experience, the burdens that we put on other people, we don't even realize that we've done it until the person says something. Just through lack of life experience, lack of understanding, just not thinking the situation through. But there are so many ways in which you can put burdens before others. And even when we talked about personal elements of belief, your personal element of belief can be a burden for somebody else. And we've used various examples. We are always assuming that your personal element of belief is a good one. So we won't go into it being wrong. If it's wrong, you're going to find out about it, and you can correct any personal element of belief. A personal element of belief is a belief, a modus operandi, the way you proceed, generally around the binding doctrine. So we have a binding doctrine that says we keep the Sabbath day. How you keep the Sabbath day, even though we have preaching on it, and we have documents on keeping the Sabbath holy, you're not going to get 30 people in a room and find two people keeping that Sabbath exactly alike, because people have hundreds, if not more, in personal elements of belief about how they keep the Sabbath. So I might be the guy that says, and I use this example 100 times, I turn on the TV and will catch up on the news. Now, you might be a person who absolutely will not turn on the TV for any reason. That's your PEB. Now, both of those I don't have a problem with, as I look at those as PEBs. I don't necessarily see a problem with somebody turning on the news, especially if something big is going on in the world and you're checking in. Maybe you're in a hurricane zone and you want to check the news to see where that hurricane is today, or a storm or something big is happening in Europe, or the president is doing something. So I don't have a problem with that. I also don't have a problem with somebody that says, under no circumstances am I going to turn on the TV. Where it becomes a burden, a possible burden, is if you invite the no TV person over to your house for Sabbath brunch, and then you go and turn on the TV in front of him, that can become a burden. You're not even thinking about it because you're living in your PEB. So one way we can alleviate some of the burdens that we put upon others is to fellowship, is to have relationships, have communication with the brethren, and find out what their PEBs might be. So I have an obligation here before God to, God knows I'm going to have personal elements of belief on a whole range of subjects. And I have a responsibility that those be keeping close to the scripture. So in those two examples I gave you, I don't see any problem with scripture other than casting a stumbling block before my brother. You've got scriptures on, do not cast a stumbling block. That's called a burden, because if your brother stumbles and falls, he's under stress. He's under a burden. So your second responsibility for all your PEBs is to make sure that you understand the other person's PEB, and that will come out in fellowship, life experience, and sometimes making a mistake. And then you're going to know. So if I didn't know that Charlie didn't like the TV on, he's probably going to say something to me. He might even do a Matthew 18 with me. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 18, going to your brother when you're offended is something that we do on a regular basis to ensure that the burdens are lifted. The whole idea of a Matthew 18, going to your brother who offended you, and you can almost come to the easy conclusion that the offense has become a burden to me. So if my brother has offended me, it's a burden to me. I'm sorrowful about this. I'm worried about this. I'm even upset about this. So in going to him, interesting, I'm the offended brother, so I'm going to go to Charlie with this, and I'm going to lay it out. I have a weight upon me here. I feel that you have offended me. And we need to work this out, because I want to take away the burden. I want to keep us fast brothers here. Now I may be wrong, and there was no offense, and then I get to lift that burden. So I'm working under the whole idea of Matthew 18 is to find out if in fact there was an offense. And I would venture to guess at least a third, not a half, of the Matthew 18s that are carried out righteously. The offended brother finds out that there really was no offense. He was handling it wrong. In the other cases, the brother did offend him. In either case, the burden is lifted with the Matthew 18. So don't be afraid to go to your brother to do that. And by the way, the Matthew 18 can work another way. In essence, a Matthew 18. That's where you feel that you might have offended your brother. Maybe there's a change in the behavior of your brother and he just hasn't been able to come forth. Or he doesn't have the means, doesn't have the way, doesn't, maybe he's new to the faith and doesn't understand the Matthew 18. You can do a reverse Matthew 18 where you go to him, have I offended you? Am I doing anything that is putting a burden on you? So if you even have an inkling or a thought that you might have put a burden on somebody else, you can do this. Interestingly, in the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous, you notice that they have you doing that very thing, kind of a reverse Matthew 18. One of the steps is to go to all of the people that you may have put a weight upon because of your sickness and to resolve that. So a part of the 12-step program is a lifting of burdens. I would venture to guess that the whole program is about lifting burdens. Healing by God is lifting of burdens. So in a lot of these cases where we're trying to rectify the burdens that we have put on others, we're asking God for a healing. So we're putting this burden in His hands. You may find yourself in a situation where you're having a hard time maybe going to your brother. Definitely, though, take it to God. If you think that you have done this to your brother, and in those cases where he has come to you and there has, so he knows and you know that you have put a burden on this person, take that to God. Ultimately, this is where the burden's going to go away. Let's look at some key verses here. This is the key verse on this whole idea of this sermon. It is Galatians 6 and verse 2. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So this is what we're talking about today. Bear ye one another's burdens, especially if you're the one that put them there. So we can look at this in two ways. Did you put a burden on your brother? Let's handle that. Do you see your brother in a burden? Let's handle that. That's what this sermon is about, both those kinds of cases. From the commentaries, for bear ye one another's burdens, all sorts of troubles, cares, errors, and infirmities, sin and error should be resisted and rebuked in the spirit of charity and meekness. But with all of our faults, we ought to esteem and love one another as brethren in Christ. We don't want to see any of our brothers in carrying any kind of burdens. And so we want to do all that we can, and a lot of it is going to be in those action steps. There's going to be some things you can do directly. If my brother is suffering with sickness, if he's going through a situation where he's dealing with medicines and the procedures of health, and he's dealing with those, he's going to have a burden upon himself. And it's important that if you perceive that in your brother, that you're there to help. So all sorts of troubles, it says, every care and error and infirmity that can be in the hands of your brother. It says, bear you one another's burdens. A big part of that, of the other person's burden, will be for you to carry out those action steps before God. Let's look at a quoted verse here, because the quoted verse, it says in the commentary on bear ye one another's burdens, it says, see Romans 15:1. Romans 15:1 says, when we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So there again, you have bearing the infirmities of the weak. So this is a reminder sermon here. We're reminding ourselves that we should, without prying now, but when we see, it says, when you naturally see, you don't have to go looking for these burdens, but if you're thinking about it, and with God's help, he's going to do this. If God is giving you this admonition in Galatians 6:2 and Romans 15:1, bear you one another's burdens, he's going to let you know what those burdens are. You don't have to go hunting too hard. I wouldn't think he will bring them to you. He will bring the knowledge of that to you. And let's say right now you're in a place where, you know, I'm kind of isolated out here where I'm living. So I don't know what's going on in the other brethren's lives. Assume, this is a right assumption, that your brothers, because we have a verse that I've already read in 1 Thessalonians, that it is appointed to the brethren to have burdens. So it's a good assumption that your brothers around the world are in some sort of a burden. And I want you to think about the brethren that we have scattered, you know, through Africa and through Europe and through Asia, and people that are seeking out the word of God that are coming to us from all over the world. These are people in burdens. Why would somebody seek out a church? Why would somebody go surfing on the internet and stumble into the ICG or any one of the true churches of God and then seek out something? They're probably under some sort of a burden. They, at the very least, they have the burden of curiosity. They have a desire to know something about God. And let me tell you, living a life without God, without that kind of knowledge, can be a burden in itself. So all kinds, so you can assume that the brethren, if you don't have specific knowledge, assume it. And probably more than you might think, because not all burdens are revealed, especially in this congregation where we're spread out all over North America here. You may not know. I mean, I'm heightened by the fact that you all fellowship. Somebody was asking me if they could come to services one day, and I said, would I stand out? And I said, well, this is a pretty close group, and they look at the list of names there, and if you're new, all of a sudden we see somebody named Charlie in there. Everybody's going to take notice of that. And so I said, it's a pretty close group, and they do converse with each other. They email each other, they phone each other, and they talk with each other after services. I've even come in on other at other times just to check the room out and found that somebody has come to the meeting room to have fellowship. So, by the way, you can use this room anytime you want. If there's any two of you guys out there that want to have fellowship and you want to use this room, be on camera with each other, you don't have to ask my permission. The room is open 24 hours a day. It doesn't cost any more to have that room open 24 hours a day. So there's another avenue for you to deal with other people's burdens. So we read Romans 15:1. It says, then we that are strong, and you're being made stronger with a sermon like this, and both cargo 1 and 2. So you're learning how to handle your own burdens, and now you're learning how to help the new people and those that even have been around the work for a long time that have their have burdens you can help them with. Because the day will come when you'll have the burden and they'll help you. Here's the commentary on that. Have sympathy, feel for each other, and consider the case of a distressed brother as your own, or empathy. So that part, first it says have sympathy. So the meaning of bear ye one another's burdens is have sympathy. Actually, this commentary here would fit both Romans 15:1 and Galatians 6:2. This I have listed here as actually being another commentary for bear ye one another's burdens in Galatians 6:2. So it says have sympathy. And then it says feel for each other and consider the case. This is where empathy comes in. This considering the case of the distressed brother as your own. That means the difference between sympathy is you have this feeling of shared sorrow with the person, but empathy is you putting yourself in the shoes of that person. That's taking it a step further. And I was actually taken to task on this because I hadn't thought it through that much on the difference between sympathy and empathy. And somebody was, as I was talking to them, actually said, that they would were eliciting more empathy out of me. I wished you could put yourself in my shoes. Let's look at the definition of empathy. I think you know what sympathy means. The intellectual, this is empathy, the intellectual identification with or a vicarious experiencing of the feelings, thoughts, and attitudes. So if I am showing sympathy, and you should show both of these, I feel for you. I'm saddened by the fact that you are in this distress. I am sad for you. I'm there with you. I'm there to support you. That's all sympathy. Even in when you go to help that person, that's sympathy. But to take it, I think, a quantum leap, not just a step further, but a quantum leap, is to have empathy for the person. This vicarious experiencing, this is going to take probably prayer and meditation. Help me, Father, to understand what this person is going through. It may take communication with that person to get, talk to me about what you are going through, because I want to vicariously experience what you're going through. So please talk to me. And then this person is going to easily come forth with all of these feelings and thoughts and attitudes. And then you're going to vicariously be a part of that. You're going to make yourself like that person. Walk a mile in his shoes. That's empathy. Here's some quotes on empathy. Humans aren't as good as we should be in our capacity to empathize with the feelings and thoughts of others, be they humans or other animals on Earth. So maybe part of our formal education should be training in empathy. Imagine how different the world would be if, in fact, that were reading, writing, arithmetic, and empathy. So you've always heard, everything about education is reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, maybe it should be reading, writing, arithmetic, and empathy, the guy is saying. Another quote I have is, when you show deep empathy for others, their defensive energy goes down, and positive energy replaces it. This is how you're lifting the burden. You're showing deep empathy. People will respond to empathy more than sympathy. It says that's when you can get more creative in solving problems. So a great way for you to lift the burden, and especially if you have perceived that you were the one that caused the burden, is to empathize with that person, to take ownership of the fact. This is very important. If you are, in fact, the person that caused the weight on the other person, empathize with that person in such a way that you are taking ownership. You are acknowledging the fact, I was the one that hurt you here through my ignorance and stupidity and unfeeling ways in that situation. Another quote that I have is, the prerequisite to empathy is simply paying attention to the person in pain. That's why you're going to them. Please share with me your thoughts and feelings and attitudes on this. Tell me what it is you're going through. Now back to the commentary on the second phrase of Galatians 6:2. And so fulfill the law of Christ. That law or commandment, you shall love one another, or that do unto all men as they would, as you would they do unto you. We should be as indulgent to the infirmities of others as we can be consistently with truth and righteousness. Our brother's infirmity may be his burden, and if we do not choose to help him to bear it, let us not reproach him because he is obliged to carry the load. I remember back in my stupidity days of my 20s, I became very upset when somebody else was sick. Because I'm trying to have some fun and you're telling me you're sick, excuse me, and so you wouldn't want to be in that kind of an attitude. You wouldn't want to reverse that kind of thinking and empathize with the person and give up, sacrifice the fun you thought you were going to have that day and deal with the person who is sick. From the John Gill for this, we have, which is the law of love to another, John 13:34, in opposition to the law of Moses. The Judaizing Galatians were so fond of, and by Judaizing Christians were mainly with the law of Moses, and says, by which Christ's disciples may be distinguished from those of Moses or any others. And in other words, the law of Moses was the keeping of the law. We take that if you are now a Christ disciple, you're still with the law of Moses, but now you are understanding that the laws of Moses, the laws of God, are pointing to what we call fruits of the Spirit. So the difference between somebody that is just holding on to the law of Moses and a righteous Christian is the invoking of the fruits of the Spirit. All laws point to these fruits of the Spirit. An example would be, thou shalt not lie and thou shalt not steal. Well, you can do that, but I'm never going to necessarily see you keeping those. I may not see you steal or lie, but I don't know what it is you're exactly doing. However, since you are a first fruit Christian following Christ, you are now invoking honesty. That's something that I'm going to see. So I'm seeing you putting the law of Moses into action. That's what is being brought up here. This is a law or doctrine which Christ has clearly taught and recovered from the false glosses of the Pharisees, who were stuck on just the law part. It is his new commandment, which he has strengthened and enforced by his own example in dying for his people, in which he, by the Spirit, inscribes upon their hearts. The Jews speak to the law of the Messiah as preferable to any other. From the John Gill, we have, which may be understood either as sin, so bear ye one another's burdens here, which may be understood either as sins, which are heavy burdens to sensible sinners, to all that are partakers of the grace of God, so all that are in the salvation process. Christ is only able to bear these burdens so as to remove them and take them away, which he has done by his blood sacrifice and satisfaction. So this is another thought process of bringing your burdens up to the Christ level, understanding that not only did he do the ultimate sacrifice to take away our burdens ultimately, give us all healing, you know, ultimately, but in every burden that we deal with, Christ is at the forefront. He's your foundation in carrying out these responsibilities, these duties, these encouragements to lift the burden. You do not get any credit for this. God, through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, gets the credit for all that you're doing here. It says, bear one another's burdens by gently reproving them. What does that mean? Reproving them by comforting them. When overpressed with guilt, by sympathizing and empathizing with them in their sorrow, by praying to God for to manifest his pardoning grace to them, and by forgiving them themselves. And so the reproving part is this. You are getting training today. You're getting training on how to handle the burdens of other people. So that when it is when John Gill is giving the meaning here of bearing one another's burdens, he's saying, when he says, bear the other person's burdens by gently reproving them, that means sharing with them what you've learned here in these two sermons on burdens. So you can look at that first sermon, Cargo Part One, and use those scriptures. These are comforting scriptures. Virtually every scripture in both these sermons are very feel good, burden lifting scriptures. They are gently reproving you. They are showing you what we are supposed to do and what our brother with the burden is supposed to do. So in these two sermons, everything is covered. How you handle your burdens. And God wants you to handle your burdens so you can hear these scriptures. Bearing the burdens of others. You which are strong, Romans 15. You which are strong. Part of that being strong is that you've learned how to deal with your burden. So that, and when it says gently reprove them, share with them the glory of lifting burdens. encourage them to handle their burdens with what you learned in part one, and then you do what you can with what you've learned in part two of the sermons. From the People's New Testaments, it says, help each other, sustain one another if you see one about to stumble under his burden, and hold him up. So I say here, let's have a discussion on help lift the burdens of others. A good part of that is to go to those action steps. And I want you, again, to work under that assumption that the brethren have burdens, more than you're probably going to find out about. So let's be praying. When we close in prayer today, let's pray for the burdens of others. Let's pray about the unknown burdens of other people. Because many of the burdens that are taking place on this planet, you don't know about. People aren't going to always come forward with those. You're going to see some. You're not going to see others. So one of the best ways to help lift the burdens of others is to assume that they have burdens. I'm talking about the congregation, or it could be, this could be your family, or this could be people that you deal with in the world. Yes, you can pray for people in the world to have their burdens lifted. A good way of, quote unquote, spreading the gospel by showing empathy and sympathy to your brothers in the world. You probably have people maybe in the workplace that you know that are suffering from burdens. Maybe somebody's lost a family member. Somebody's going through a divorce. Somebody's handling sickness in some way. So there's a number of things you could do under the heading of prayer. I like the combination of having prayer with meditation. You could do a study. Of course, we're doing a study right now in handling of burdens. So you could study these scriptures, then meditate on them as it focuses on the person that you're concerned about. So you've seen a burden in the other, and maybe there's not a lot of direct things you can do, but there's a lot of things you can do with the study of burdens, with the praying to God about that person's burdens, and meditating about what they are going through. So a lot of your empathizing that you're doing in your mind is going to happen in that meditation phase. You're thinking, you're putting yourself absolutely into the shoes. If you're going before the throne of God with somebody else's burdens, you know, that's a real fantastic thing. I can't think of anything that would be more empathizing than doing that, even if that person never knows you did it. It doesn't matter if they know that you did it. If you say to the person, well, I'm going to be praying for you this week, that they may bring them comfort. I've seen so you're not patting yourself on the back here to tell somebody, I'm going to be praying for you. Many people in their email saying, my prayers are with you. My thoughts are with you. Nothing wrong with that, because especially when you're dealing with other first fruits, because they know that everything that they do under the heading of righteousness, and everything you do under the heading of righteousness, Christ is getting the glory. So there's no glory hounding in all of this. So whether you tell that other person, or you're just praying in general for the burdens of the brethren, whether they know it or not, there's going to be a benefit here. If you go back to what Herbert W. Armstrong was doing, it's outlined in the autobiography. I can't tell you where. It's been a while since I've actually been to the page number where that is done. But if you go through there, he was actually not praying for himself. He was praying for the family. He was praying for his entire family, and he wasn't so much focused on himself, which was interesting. He was suffering the same burden, but most of his prayers, and then when the miracles, by the way, a set of miracles happens. Matter of fact, he was shaken out of his, he had locked himself in a room, and he was in this prayer and study and meditation while he was fasting. And all of these, he was actually interrupted by God with a set of miracles that happened that basically not only fulfilled everything that he was praying about, but then he mentions in the autobiography that he had forgotten the burdens that he was under at the same time, and God even saw to those. It's a fantastic, he said it was one of the most spiritual, things that he had ever done in his entire life. And if you do something that heavy, it is. It's going to be one of the great experiences. I would generally say, if you are taking steps to help lift the burdens of others, it's going to be a great spiritual experience for you. It's even more, spiritually satisfying, spiritually enlightening to be doing this for others. So I guess my great admonition to you is do all that you can to lift your burden so you can help the burdens of others. And so go to those action steps, and because that is going to be ways. You're going to use those action steps and create your own way to help lift the burdens of others. Let's look at some scriptures here as we come to the end of this sermon. Colossians 3. This is a good scripture beginning in verse 12. It's Colossians 3 beginning in verse 12. This is for you. This is an attitude checker. This is how we should approach our brother. So it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, remember who you are, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another. This is part of the empathy, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also so also do you. And above all these things, put on love. So how am I approaching? Going back to the discussion on help to lift the burdens of others, this is the way you approach. In that soft reproving, you're doing it, you're couching it in mercy and kindness and humbleness. And let, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This is an immerse yourself in the word of God scripture. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in the hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So you realize we can't even thank God Almighty. We cannot thank God the Father without Christ in and through us. You can't even keep the laws of God without Christ doing it in and through you. 1 John 3, verses 14 and through 18. 1 John 3. We know that we have passed from life to death because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. I assume that we're talking empathy here. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So this goes back to that discussion we had on you're doing this all through Christ, who gave the ultimate sacrifice to lift your burdens. And so here it is laid down again, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. When you go into study, prayer, meditation, and anything that you can do physically, emotionally, mentally for this other person, that's called laying down your life for the brethren. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and see that his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not just love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Philippians 3, we're almost done. Philippians 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, this is very important, yet both in you helping your brother and in you lifting the burdens. You have to forget those things which are behind. You know, resolve them, have a discussion about them, but then let them be behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before. All situations are going to be resolved by talking about, we can talk about the past, especially, you know, what caused all this problem. But reaching forth, don't leave that part out. Reaching forth to those things that are before. And so my taking steps to help you rid yourself of burdens is reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, moving forward in the salvation process, be thus minded. And if anything ye be, and it says, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. So matter of fact, this sermon is a part of fulfilling verse 15. If there be anything else in you like my, you know, otherwise minded than helping our, helping yourself and helping your brothers with burdens, God is going to reveal this to you. Sermon like this is revealing some things to us. Sure did to me. Psalms 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is Psalms 103, beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You see what God is doing here. He's lifting burdens from you. He's showing you how he does it. And so we need to be like-minded to Psalm 103. Continuing in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth be renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Did I miss verse 9? He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as hath he removed our transgressions from us, our burden from us. For he knoweth our frame. Like as a father pitieth his children, verse 13, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. And this is something we need to remember about our brothers that have burdens. Remember that they are dust. And treat them accordingly, and treat yourself the same way. Verse 15, for as man his days are the grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. Here are, in closing here, some quotes on lifting burdens of others. No one is useless in this world who lightens the burden of it to anyone else. Remember, the burden of sorrow is doubled when it is borne alone. So you can half, you know, cut in half the burden of your brother just by having empathy for that person. Try to help others. Consult their weaknesses. Relieve their maladies, strive to raise them up, and by doing so, you will most effectively raise yourself up also. So a good way to help you lift your burdens is to help somebody else with theirs. Let us go back to that list of action steps in part one of this sermon and see how they can be applied in lifting the burdens of others. So I'm just going to give these to you as a repeat. Many items in this list, including praying all that you are able, giving time to meditation. And I want you to think of these action steps in combination. I think they work best in combination. Immersing yourselves in the Word of God. That's what we're doing today. We're doing the immersion part, and you can do even more with this sermon and in this subject on your own. So that all sermons are introduction to your study. Occasionally fasting, having that 10,000-year perspective, get the other person in his 10,000-year perspective. view things from the kingdom perspective looking back. This is all going to pass. This all means nothing. All the suffering in the world ultimately means nothing because it's going to be healed. If you get shot in the arm and you're bleeding profusely, that's bad. That's a burden. But if God passes his hand over your wound and it's no longer there, what was the problem? There was ultimately no problem. That is having the 10,000-year perspective. Everything, no matter how gross it is that we see in the world, is going to be healed. So we have to have that ultimate view. Yes, it's sad to look at what's going on in the world today. A lot of burdens in the world that we have no power over other than to pray for the healing. So the world moans and groans in its anguish, the Bible says. And it even the earth is longing for the return of Jesus Christ. The earth itself is under a burden. All of the animals are under a burden. Every plant in the plant kingdom is under burden right now. The oceans are moaning and groaning in their burden. And so you can pray for that too. It says, put on you therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies as you relate to these action steps. Kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. So let's close in prayer.